Welcome to the Sportscast, September 22nd, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Apple Podcasts, also Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, you can listen to us on your smart speaker. Alexa, play the Sportscast. Will be there as well. Also, visit our website, thesportscast.net, and you can also follow us on X and Instagram, thesportscast1. You could also download our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The San Francisco 49ers are in a winning streak. They haven't lost since, I believe, since Brock Purdy started. He is undefeated. Last night, it was the same story, defeating the New York Giants 30-12. And join us to recap this game, also preview week 3 for the NFL, Ryan Krista, all the way from upstate New York. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, Diego, it's good to be here. It's up here, the temperatures are cooling down a little bit, not too bad. Very fall-like here. Definitely football weather up here in Western New York as the leaves are starting to turn. It's a good time of year.
The leaves are changing. Football weather is here. But let's look at San Francisco. Not sure how the weather's doing. Christian McCaffrey scored a touchdown in his 12th straight game. Debo Samuel caught one of Brock Purdy's 2 touchdown passes, and San Francisco 49ers won their 13th straight regular season 30-12 over the New York Giants last night. Ryan, your thoughts over yesterday's game?
Oh, yeah. 49ers are there's something else right now, San Diego. They're just, John Lynch, the quarterback, Trey Lance, as a third pick, and they gave up a lot. But what he's done other than that is spectacular, putting his roster together. And they kind of, what they missed on Trey Lance, they got lucky with Brock Purdy. He's just kind of perfect for the system, another quarterback who's very successful in, Kyle Shanahan's system is Jimmy Garoppolo. Brock Purdy reminds you a lot of that. He doesn't take chances. He puts the ball where he needs to. But the system itself, let's the athletes be the athletes. Let's Debo be Debo. Let's Christian McCaffrey be Christian McCaffrey. They got it going on both sides of the ball, that's for sure. They're a fun team to watch. The sky's the limit, and the Giants really, to me, had no chance in this game. They're lucky not to be 0-3 after that kind of crazy second-half comeback against the Cardinals last week. But they got to find themselves a little bit. But the 49ers, another 300-yard game for Purdy. Samuel looked good. Christian McCaffrey ran the ball. I think he's doing it. And his status, Brock Purdy got hurt in that NFC Championship game. If you watch the game on Prime, you got a good look at what his injury looked like. Maybe a little too graphic for people, but games that he started and finished, he's never lost in with the 49ers. So, there, say what you say about that. So, Brock Purdy, is, the quarterback of the future for the 49ers. So, it'll be interesting to see how far this win streak in the regular season will go. Eventually, I think they'll get tripped up. It's going to take a mighty good effort to beat them.
Christian McCaffrey ran for 85 yards, added 34 more receiving, and scored on a 4-yard run that made it 17-3 late in the second quarter. That matched Jerry Rice's franchise record with 12 straight games in the regular season or playoffs with a touchdown, and is 3 shy of the NFL mark, Ryan.
That's huge. He came over from Carolina. He had a great career in Carolina other than one thing. He couldn't stay healthy. So that was kind of, you expected this to be the result for, him and his offense. If he stays healthy and so far so good, so much in the NFL, success of the teams is, the team that stays healthy the longest is going to be the team that wins. And, as long as health stays on the side of the 49ers, they're going to keep winning.
Daniel Jones was often on the run, obviously with no Saquon Barkley, the running back for the Giants, and couldn't get anything going down the field. He went 22 for 32 for 137 yards and an interception.
Yeah, you know, definitely there was no options on the field for Daniel Jones to go to. You know, like I said, he was on the run. You know, the pass rush at 49ers is good. You know, Bosa's, you know, problem with Bosa is that you got to double team Bosa. He's going to get all the headlines. And then when you do that, a lot of times you're going to get a lot of other players, you know, may not have the name recognition of Bosa, but, you know, they're gonna get pressure on the quarterback. So, yeah, this is what I mean. This is just a complete football team, the 49ers, you know, on both sides of the ball. And that's why they're having such success. And most of the games, they're not just winning, they're beating teams at both. So,
you know, with no Barkley, you expect Daniel Jones to do most of the running.
Yeah.
Would you?
So this is about, you know, they gave Daniel Jones a 4 years, $80 million. When you give somebody a contract like that, you're going to say in a game like this, go win the game. And, you know, right now, there's a couple of issues. They don't have a focal wide receiver. You know, a guy they can just continuously get the ball to all the time. Also, you know, I just don't think that's in Daniel Jones' makeup to be that type of quarterback either. So, you know, the Giants are in a weird predicament right now because eventually you still have to pay Saquon Barkley a long-term deal. And they got to do this. And they still got to get, you know, Jalen Hyatt may be turning to a big-time wide receiver for the 49ers. You know, I think they put a line in Waller, the tight end, but he hasn't been healthy. They got some issues. I think it's hard for us to see a team make it back to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, the NFC East in itself is going to be tough for the Giants. Cowboys are looking good. Commanders are 2-0, which we'll get to that in one sec. And, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles 2-0, winning by 6 points. But let's touch on your Broncos losing against the Commanders. Russell Wilson threw that late Hail Mary catch, which usually those catches never been made, but was not enough to beat the Commanders. New ownership, Sam Howell at the quarterback, at the helm. Your thoughts over that matchup?
Yeah, that was a frustrating game in Santiago. Midway through the second quarter, you know, 21-3. It looks like they're cruising. You know, and then, you know, they're driving again, you know, but more points on the board, and Russell Wilson fumbles it. That was a momentum switch that the Commanders just needed. To, you know, they flipped the switch. Sam Howell started getting hot. You know, this is a guy, you know, you give him time. I think right now, you know, a guy you can definitely see the most important player. Yeah, Sam Howell is doing great. But having Eric Bieniemy there, you know, you see a lot of that Kansas City offense and what you're seeing, what the Commanders do on offense, you know, a lot of RPOs, you know. They're dangerous. You know, the Commanders, you know, they may not be championship level right now, but I see them being a team that's, you know, going to push the Cowboys and Eagles to win the NFC East. I think they're just a step below those two teams, but they're not far off. Broncos, on the other hand, you know, every year you hope that, you know, you're going to have different results. And right now, new coach, kind of same fourth quarter, can't make that stop, make that big play when you need to. You know, you catch a Hail Mary, you catch a break, and you can't get the two-point conversion to follow. So, it's kind of been the name of the game, you know, whether it's Vic Fangio is the coach, or Nathaniel Hackett, or now Sean Payton. It's just the same old, you know, not that winning mindset. So something's got to change quickly, you know. You go 0-2 in your first two games at home, your odds of making the playoffs are not very good.
Is it true what I've been hearing, that Sean Payton has not ruled out to hit out Pro Bowler Russell Wilson, quarterback Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, he's out there. Yeah, I don't think Russell Wilson's played bad the first two games. He's done okay. He just hasn't seen that Russell Wilson magic you saw in, you know, Seattle. So, and there's definitely not, they don't have that play calling chemistry between Wilson and Payton. Yeah. You hope they get it sooner, sooner than later. But right now, they just lack something. You know, they had a little bit going on in the first quarter last week. You know, Marvin Mims, you know, rookie wide receiver from Oklahoma, caught two long passes for touchdowns. You know, that's kind of a big bright spot for the Broncos. But yeah, you'll have to hope to find that Russell Wilson that you brought in from Seattle.
Whole new system, maybe. We'll see what happens with the Broncos because they face Miami this weekend. But we'll get into predictions right now. Ryan, anything else before we head into predictions?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, if you turn into week three, this is kind of where the first couple weeks can kind of be enigma, you know, like some, you know, maybe 0-2 that are good teams, like the Cincinnati Bengals, the second straight year they're 0-2 last year. You know, they come from the Super Bowl, they start 0-2, and since then they turned it on. You know, they're 0-2 right now. They got a huge Monday Night Football game against the Rams, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, here in a little bit. Is that the team? Are they going to turn it on? Or are you going to look at a team like the Falcons that are 2-0, but I don't think they're a very good football team overall. So, you know, as you get week 3 and 4, you know, you can kind of see who's real and who's not real.
Who's the real deal and who's not the real deal? Speak of the devil, Atlanta Falcons, Desmond Ridder. As Ryan said, they're 2-0. Visiting Detroit. Everyone's picking Detroit to win the Super Bowl. They lost against Seattle last week against Geno Smith. Yes, he's still alive. Who you got in Detroit? Ford Field in a dome, something that Atlanta is very familiar with.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. You got 1-1 Detroit with him. Week one, you know, they're kind of the darlings, they beat the Chiefs. Then they come home and, you know, they go to overtime and lose to the Seahawks. So, again, this is a game where you're going to see who's real and who's not real. I think they're real, even though they're 1-1, and the Falcons are 2-0. I don't think they're as good as the record. I'm going to say that the Lions, you know, with Jared Goff continuing to put up big numbers, will get the victory.
Jared Goff goes 2-1. Atlanta goes 2-1. The Chargers are 0-2. Unbelievable. Losing against Tennessee and Miami versus Minnesota. Unpredictable. What's going to happen in Minnesota at that beautiful Viking Stadium?
Yeah, this is an interesting game because you got two teams that have high expectations, but both are 0-2.
It's a must win for one of them.
Yeah, somebody's got to win this game. You know, then the team that goes 0-3 is going to be feeling a lot of heat come Monday morning. You know, the Chargers do fall 0-3. That hot key for Brandon Staley is going to be very hot. This is a team where
Ryan, are you really a Brandon Staley fan? No one in the sports cast is. We're looking for someone who is.
No.
Is Ryan that person?
No, I don't think anybody is. The guy, I like him for the fact that I don't really like the Chargers, and he's, you know, he makes a lot of crazy decisions, fourth downs, unpredictable. Not really a sound decision making you want from the head coach. And I think that's why you see the team, you know, consistently lose close. And that's, you know, the team has been as unpredictable as anybody in the last couple of years. And any team led by Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins himself is unpredictable, because you never know what type of performance you're going to get from him. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see how this game goes. I'm going to say the Vikings pull this out, and, you know, the Chargers are looking at 0-3 records.
Kirk Cousins, Madison, Justin Jefferson, Ryan picks with the purple. The Purple Man Indians, whatever they call it. Let's go,
Derek.
The New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers. Justin Love lost. Sorry, Jordan Love lost against Atlanta. They're back in Green Bay. His first home game as a starter. Who you got in Green Bay?
Yeah. You know, they lost by points to the Falcons the other day. You know, without Aaron Jones, kind of, you know, somebody that Jordan Love's got to rely a lot on. So not having his main, you know, safety blanket there didn't help. And again, I think the Saints are another 2-0 team that I don't really know how good they are. They haven't played.
Alvin Kamara comes back next week.
Yeah, and that's going to be huge because right now they really have no running game. James Carr is doing a lot of this himself, you know. Jamal Williams, who they're going to use as their starting running back, is now out. So, I'm going to say the Packers get this victory this week at home in Lambeau Field.
Lambeau Field is a place that's hard to win, maybe not in the winter. There might be a chance for New Orleans. Derek Carr, not sure if he's ever won in Lambeau.
I'm not sure, but it's going to be a tall test for
a tall tax for anyone that goes to Green Bay. Jacksonville Jaguars almost kind of kept close with the Chiefs. Tough place to play in Jacksonville. Houston is trying to figure out what's going on. New rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud, has a lot of yardage. I think he had 342 yards last weekend. Still rookie quarterback, new coach. Will this be Houston's win or Jacksonville's going to slide in? NTN. Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. What's going to happen in Jacksonville, Ryan? Tough place to play, by the way.
Conventional wisdom says this is going to be kind of a must win for Jacksonville. Jacksonville needs it after, their loss to Kansas City last week. The Texans are still obviously in major rebuild mode. They're just trying to get experience with, C.J. Stroud. They like to win some games, but it's not the most important thing right now. And the Jaguars are in a win now mode, so I'm going to say Jaguars win this game.
Jaguars wins in Jacksonville. The game of the weekend, I don't know. Broncos at Miami Dolphins. Tua has been untouched. I think he was touched last week a little bit when he faced New England. Denver Broncos are 0-2. Miami's first home game of the season. I don't have much hope for the Broncos. Does Ryan have hope for the Broncos in Miami?
Yeah, I wish I did, Santiago. My heart says has hope, but my head says, no way. It's going to be hot down there at Santiago, I'm assuming, right? I think I heard 88 degrees.
It is pretty humid. I cannot lie.
Yeah, it's not a good situation for the Broncos right now. Obviously, two losses by combined 3 points. So, yeah, they've been close. But both of them at home. Now you go across the country. You go from above sea level to below sea level in the hot weather. It's not a good situation. Tua and company, got it going. Like I said, I think, we were talking before the season. As long as they can keep two upright, this team is going to cause a lot of trouble in this AFC. But as long as, that Miami isn't looking too far ahead to clash next week up in Orchard Park against Buffalo, I think the Dolphins win this game.
It's not a must win, but win is a good thing before they fly up to Buffalo. Tough place to play. Tennessee Titans, who had a tremendous game a week ago. They're 1-1, but to beat the Chargers and they're playing against Cleveland Browns, which Deshaun Watson is not having an okay season. He's still starting, and he's 1-1. Still more, we got to still see more of him and more games. But who you got? This is going to be a good matchup, by the way.
Yeah, this is a unique matchup. You got two teams that I got Cleveland, which came out gangbusters against Cincinnati. Played a pretty good game against Pittsburgh, but Deshaun Watson fumbles, T.J. Watt picks up the ball, scores a winning touchdown. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, though. Deshaun Watson, ever since he's been in Cleveland, has not lived up to the expectations that huge contract they gave him.
Ryan, when you don't play for a year, you notice it.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. He's probably still trying to get that rest off. Now it's going to be harder. Now you lose your best offensive weapon in this truck for the rest of the year. I know they bring back Kareem Hunt, but there's a reason why Kareem Hunt was available right now, So we'll see what kind of, if the Browns can get it going offensively, I think they'll be okay against. Really, an okay football. They're not great offensively. They rely a lot on Derrick Henry. They're not explosive. And their defense is above average. So, you kind of get what you get with the Titans. They're not going to hurt themselves. You got to go beat them.
Where's D-Hop?
He's doing okay. He's not the D-Hop I think that we're used to.
Going up and against his former teammate.
If Deshaun Watson can find some sort of chemistry with Amari Cooper, this is a game to get it going, and I think the Browns win this game.
The Browns win. By the way, they got Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Yeah, Kareem Hunt, like, but like I said, you know, the reason why Kareem Hunt was available at this point, you know, is a free agent. So, he's got, you know, what helps Kareem Hunt is that he's got experience with the Browns. He knows the organization, knows the coaching staff. So, that transition should be okay. But he's not Nick Chubb, though.
He's no Nick Chubb. Buffalo visits the Washington Commanders. These Washington games have been a little bit fuller than usual for some reason. Buffalo is 1-1. Washington's 2-0. This Washington team is special, but this could be a good measurement of where Washington's at. And you can say the same for Buffalo. What's going to happen in land over Maryland?
Well, I think what you got to really watch out is Mother Nature. You know, we got this hurricane, tropical, whatever you want to call it.
Post-tropical storm.
Yeah, a lot of rain is going to be coming through, you know, this area, in that area of the country. You know, whether it's during the game or not, you know, I think it's going to, the field conditions aren't going to be great. You know, so how is it both teams going to react to that? It's going to be really the key to this game. I think, you know, talent-wise, Buffalo's got, you know, more talent than Washington. So with that alone, I'm going to say they're going to win the game, but I would not be surprised if Washington wins, you know, and goes to 3-0, but my pick is going to be Buffalo.
Ryan, if Washington beats Buffalo, goes 3-0, what would you make of this team?
you know, they might be for real. Like I said, this is a make or break. You know, they beat the Broncos, they're 0-2. They beat the Cardinals, they're 0-2. You know, so this is, like I said, this is kind of weak, you know. Who are you? Are you real or not real? You know, I could easily see Buffalo just going in there and plummeting Washington and, you know, sending them back to earth. Or, you know, like I said, this is one of those games where I have a hard time really putting my finger on what's going to happen. But it's
maybe
definitely
a
showcase. Yeah, it's definitely a game for, you know, to realign everybody's season's trajectory. Where are you going to go?
Where you're going to go. The Josh Harris, Eric Bieniemy effect is in test this weekend. The Indianapolis Colts, still no JT, no Jonathan Taylor. At Baltimore Ravens, they do not have Odell Beckham, OBJ. Baltimore's looking okay. They're 2-0. Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson. I think he's not going to play this weekend. I think he's out. What's going to happen in Baltimore? Tough place to play as well.
Yeah, again, another game that's going to be probably affected by weather with that same storm.
Get your ponchos.
Yeah, exactly. I think Baltimore wins this game. You know, no Anthony Richardson. I don't know. He's at that point of career. I don't know if that's a hindrance or not. Because like, you got Gardner Minshew, who's got experience running an NFL offense, especially the Philadelphia offense.
Good game manager.
Yeah. So he's not going to hurt too. He was nearly perfect last week in relief. But, you know, the Ravens are a good team. They're coming out of the vengeance. You know, they ended the year pretty poorly last year. So, yeah, I think they continue to go 3-0 with a win over the Colts.
Good, comfortable lead for Baltimore. Let's go into AFC East matchup. Maybe the two worst teams in the AFC East or the bottom of the AFC East. New England Patriots at the Jets. First time Bill Belichick is 0-2 with the Patriots since 2001. That was his second year as a Patriots coach. Jets with no Aaron Rodgers against Zach Wilson. A good defense. What's going to happen there?
Yeah. Again, another hard game to kind of put your finger on. You know, Patriots put up a really good effort against the Dolphins Sunday night. I'm sure. And they had that same kind of effort, and, you know, I think they beat the Jets. You know, they looked a little lifeless on Sunday against the Cowboys. You know,
it was a fluke. The Cowboys are not the real deal.
Yeah. They might be. But just in Jets terms, it seemed like they had lost a lot of their mojo. They had obviously losing Aaron Rodgers. You know, can Zach Wilson doesn't have to play great. You just got to, you know, be able to keep in motion, get the ball to Garrett Wilson consistently. They got running back help. This is going to be a low-scoring, knock-it-out, physical football game. I'm going to say the Jets could have done, though. I think the Jets will go 2-1 in that.
Where's Brees Hall? Where's Zeke Elliott?
Yeah. Where's Dalvin Cook? There we go.
Let's go out west. Carolina with no Bryce Young. It's Andy, the Red Rifle, Alton against Seattle, hot Geno Smith. What's going to happen? I think Metcalf is playing. What's going to happen in Seattle?
Yeah, I think that Seattle gets it done. Carolina, kind of like Houston, is just kind of, especially without playing with their young quarterback, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, Seattle played really well last week in Detroit. If they can keep up that success, Geno Smith was really good. I think they get this victory against the Panthers. Quite easy.
Nothing to think about. This week, Justin Fields was complaining to his Chicago Bears coaching staff that he's been overcoached. And then he apologized. No, I know. I mean, I would never blame the coaches for this. No, I mean, this is on me. It's my responsibility. The Chiefs are trying to figure out the wide receiver situation. They still got trust on Kelce, who's apparently healthy, but I think he's not as what it used to be. Chicago visits Kansas City in Arrowhead. What's going to happen? I hear when you go into the stadium, you smell the barbecue in the air.
I'm sure. And this week, I think they'll be barbecuing some bears, I think, you know.
that sounds good, too, by the way.
Yeah. This is a game, I think, the Chiefs obviously 1-1. They lost that close one to the Lions. And then the last week, you know, their defense kind of bailed them out. You know, Patrick Mahomes is not himself right now. You know, doesn't have that connection with any of the wide receivers yet. And like you said, Travis Kelce coming off an injury. He's more of a red zone player right now until he gets fully healthy, you know, and there to catch touchdowns. So, but, you know, you're going against the Bears team that's really in a bad spot right now. A big loss against the Chiefs could really send the season out. And then really kind of second guess, you know, if Justin Fields is the right guy to be leading this team.
He was great in college.
He was great in college. He put up some good numbers last year, last couple years. This year they're not winning and he's not putting up good numbers. So I'm not sure what to make out of him.
All right, we're having barbecue bears this weekend, Ryan and I. Let's go to Arizona, Dallas Cowboys. They're saying they're the real deal, but they just beat the Giants and the Jets, two New York teams. This time they're not playing a New York team this weekend. They got Arizona, who has James Conner. You probably remember him. He's doing well. Dallas Cowboys has lost Trevon Diggs. Not sure if that's going to be a big factor in Ryan's prediction, but what's going to happen in Glendale, Arizona?
Well, it's not going to be a factor in my decision to pick the Cowboys this week, but I will factor in, you know, the viability of the Cowboys going long-term, you know. But, so, the Cardinals are unofficially tanking right now.
But they almost beat the Giants.
The Cardinals are in a most weird situation. They brought in a new coach. I don't think the coach really loves Kyler Murray. But they just pay Kyler Murray a lot of money. And I think they're trying to get the number one pick so they can draft Caleb Williams out of USC.
I'm not sure
what they're going to do with Kyle Murray. I really don't understand the Cardinals. They're kind of going, you know, for a while the Cardinals looked like they knew what they were doing as an organization. But right now you would kind of second guess, you know, the direction of the team and, you know, the decision making as a whole. But going ahead of this game, I think the Cowboys get the 3-0 quite easily.
Cowboys go 3-0. They might get the win, and they might get the World Cup final because the FIFA president was at the Cowboys Stadium last week.
There we go. Very world.
And LA might be pulling out completely because they're not getting in. They're not getting enough revenue chairs during the World Cup. So, anyways, Sunday Night Football, Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit Garoppolo, Jimmy G, that's what they call him. Pittsburgh are 1-1, you know, which is not bad. Las Vegas is 1-1. They went to Buffalo and they pretty much couldn't beat the Buffalo Bills. What's going to happen in Las Vegas in that beautiful field in Las LV?
After watching that game and seeing how bad Las Vegas was, it made me feel like, okay, the Broncos lost this team. I really don't know how it ended. I just think the Broncos are definitely that good of a team, I guess. But With that being said, I think the Steelers can, they look pretty good as a team. They look pretty decent. Pickett to Pickens is quite a lethal combination. As long as they can stop Josh Jacobs, you know, Josh Jacobs had 9 carries for negative 2 yards last week against the Bills. So that doesn't help, you know, leading rusher from last year. So we'll see what happens, but, you know, I'm going to say the Steelers win this game.
The Steelers win this game. Do you have time for college predictions?
Let's keep on going. It's the biggest week in college. We have 8 teams that this late in the season are 3-0 or better playing against each other. It's crazy,
Santiago. And plus Liberty at FIU, which we'll get to. All right, so number 14, Oregon State, and number 21, Washington State. These two teams are, I think, the only ones left in the Pac-12. It's a big showdown.
Yeah,
What's going to happen in Washington State?
This is a really fun matchup. You know, I think people who love college football aren't, you know, into, you know, big sexy brands are trying to pump up this game because these are two really good teams, really good fan bases. They obviously don't have national relevance, so this is why they're getting kicked to the curb. And we probably left to be a group of 5 team here coming up here. But I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to go DJ Uiagalelei and Oregon State to win this game in a really classic game. But here, I don't know, Santiago, if you heard this or not. You know, we're both soccer likers, lovers here. The talks between the Pac-2, Washington State, Oregon State, and the Mountain West, they would love to do a relegation-style league where if you're in the top of the league, you would stay in the Pac-12 or whatever, how many teams it is. And if you get relegated, you move down to the Mountain West.
Promotion, relegation, and college football. I've been talking about it for a couple of years, but I wasn't sure if the women's volleyball team would have been okay with that.
I don't know how this works for non-football sports, but yeah, you know, if you want the money, you got to go and earn it, just like they do in, you know, soccer.
Let's go. I bring it. Love to see that experiment. Maybe the other Power 5 conferences might adapt. I doubt it. I know the LSU volleyball team wouldn't be okay with it.
Probably not.
Okay. So let's go. For some reason, Colorado's getting tons of TV ratings. I have no idea what it is. They haven't won a national championship in years. Number 19, Colorado visits number 10, Oregon Ducks. What's going to happen in that matchup?
Well, Santiago, I just put on my sunglasses and my hat to give you this interview. You can't see it, but...
Are you allowed to do that?
Depends. If I'm in the office with my dad, then no. It's pretty old school. Maybe I'm more of a Jay Novell guy.
no pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, Santiago, I was up at 2 a.m. last Saturday night. It's must-see TV to watch Coach Prime and his Buffaloes. Yeah, but, you know, this is where the fun kind of ends, I think, Santiago. Travis Hunt, one of the best athletes in college football, obviously is unavailable after the hit last week. You know, Shiloh Sanders, this is going to be, I've heard this a couple of ways. I kind of agree this. This is going to be an old school, I think, Big 12, Pac-12 shootout. You know, I think, you know, 50 to 30, something around there, or Oregon. Got too much offense, too much firepower, probably can't be stopped. There's a lot of depth issues for Colorado, especially in the defensive side of the ball, and I think it's going to show up here in the next couple weeks against Oregon and USC. So I definitely think, you know, while there are a lot of people watching, I don't think they'll have great success this week. So I think the attack of the crack gets his victory.
Ryan says the fun stops in Autzen Stadium. Let's go into Pennsylvania. Number 24, Iowa Hawkeyes versus number 7, Penn State Nittany Lions. That's going to be a big turnout. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, it's a whiteout. It's a big deal. It's a fun game. You know, I got the joy of going to Penn State last year for the first time. What a cool place to watch a football game. You know, it's a little in the middle of a cornfield. You got a 90,000-seat stadium. Old school. You know, Big Ten, you know, knock 'em, sock 'em, rock 'em. that, you know, that's what Iowa will hope for four quarters. I don't think they have enough firepower. Drewalter is the man of Penn State. I think he gets just enough offense. You know, I think Penn State wins by, you know, comfortably by two touchdowns, but definitely will be a must-see watch environment, at least TV-wise.
Another high-rated, high-ranking two teams, number six, Ohio State, and then the number nine, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, great Midwest kind of ish match. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about this game a lot, you know. You know, offensive firepower, I think, you know, favors Ohio State. Defensively, though, I Notre Dame's got some, you know, quality players. I think they'll be able to slow them down enough. And I think the difference, they brought in Sam Hartman, you know, the mustache messiah, as they like to call him at Notre Dame. You know, for this type of game here, I think this is what they did. This is what they want. I think Notre Dame wants the big spotlight, and I think they get it done in a really good back and forth. You know, in front of a huge TV audience. You know, on Saturday night in South Bend, Indiana,
on NBC, the exclusive TV partnership of Notre Dame
for a 20-year
contract.
Are you a big Iron Eagle fan? No Eagle, I meant to say. No Eagle, son.
No, what's that?
Yeah. Noah Eagle is the son of Iron Eagle.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He's the one that does the Nickelodeon NFL games.
Yeah, 25 years old, and he's doing primetime, you know, games. You know, his future is bright for this young star.
Another game of the weekend, Liberty University at Florida International University. Liberty goes deep in the South. I'll be going to that game. What's going to happen there?
Well, San Diego, you know, like Liberty coming off a huge victory at UB, 55-27, where Caden Salter threw for five touchdowns, ran for another. Was tough, but, you know, this is a good team that, you know, Florida Nationals on a three-game win streak. They played in week zero in Ruston, Louisiana, against Louisiana Tech. Threw for 4 yards. That's what I said, 4 yards. Got boat raced. They've come back, you know, found their identity, went up to Storrs, Connecticut, got a victory last week against Jim Moore and the Huskies. You know, I'm definitely going to say Liberty wins. I think it'll be a very close game, though.
So I'll be entertained while I'm there.
I hope so. You might be the difference, Santiago. Wear red, be loud.
I might be different. There was a discussion on the Top 25 Rundown, which you can watch every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. They say Liberty is probably the best team in Virginia. JMU might be coming close to them. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is one of the biggest rivalries of game teams that never play each other. JMU and Liberty, you know. If you go on Twitter, or X now, formerly Twitter, you'll see a lot of back and forth between Liberty and JMU fans, you know. But basically, you got Virginia Tech and Virginia are both way down. So you really, to me, it's, you know, 1A, 1B, I don't know. You know, their competition's a little different. They both should be, you know, in the running to win their conference title this year.
There you have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. My first away game that I went to see Liberty was JMU back in 2003.
Yeah, freshman Santiago.
I remember that. That was a big deal. That was up in.
Yeah.
What's the name of the town they're at?
Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Harrisonburg. That's right. It's slightly bigger than Lynchburg, I believe.
Oh yeah, it's a lot like Lynchburg, and you know, in the mountains. You know, to me, you know, whenever I go to Liberty or anywhere in Virginia, I have to pass through that town, so I get a glimpse of it.
Well, but, there you have it. Poll question. We have a trivia question first. Pittsburgh T.J. Watt, who's playing this weekend, Sunday Night Football, has the highest sack per game average in NFL history at 0.92. Question is, who ranks number two at 0.88 sacks per game? Hint, he's also a player.
He's what?
He is also an active player.
Hmm.
So who's after TJ Watt with the most hack per game average?
Nick Bosa?
No. I will give you a whole nother chance.
Not Joey Bosa?
Nope. Miles Garrett.
Oh, really? That's a good question.
Okay. 0.88. And right, here's another poll question. Your favorite type of ice cream cone? The options are cake, waffle, wafer, or sugar cone.
Oh, waffle. Yeah.
Waffle.
San Diego's already in the books tonight. We are getting waffle cones for dinner. A big Krista family tradition. You know, so any day we get excuse to have ice cream for dinner. And when it's National Ice Cream Cone Day, why not, right?
I was going to mention ice cream cone day. You already knew that before I came along. All right.
Yeah, it involves ice cream. My family, my wife, and my son, we are all over it. We ate a lot of ice cream this summer. Heck yeah.
And you lost, 50 pounds? You deserve an ice cream.
Really, I lost. Just stay in shape.
Stay in shape. Just like all these other athletes. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online if people want to know that you put sprinkles on ice cream?
Oh, yeah, gotta go rainbow sprinkles, you know.
You call it Jimmy's or you call it sprinkles?
Sprinkles, yeah.
Okay.
Cynthia, how was Messi Mania the other night?
Messi Mania, I went to the match on Wednesday night. He only played for 37 minutes. That was good for me. As long as I saw it, I can tell everyone I went to a Messi match.
Yeah, that's quite the idea. Hopefully next year I'll find track him down. Hopefully we'll see.
Yeah, I mean I don't know if that Rochester soccer team plays in the U.S. Open, but Inter Miami does sometimes.
Yeah, no, it'll probably have to be either Toronto, or the other MLS. I'm a driving distance to a lot of MLS teams, you know.
Yeah, you got you got Montreal, you got Toronto, and you could say the Red Bulls or NYCFC.
Yeah, they're not too. Nothing's like ridiculously close. The Toronto is probably the closest I've been there. When you're good, it's a really fun environment, right on the Lake Ontario. So literally, I don't know, this is really cool. So Toronto is literally probably 60 miles from my house right now.
60
but it
miles.
Takes over 3.5 hours because we got to go around the lake.
Unbelievable. How far are you from Niagara Falls?
About an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes.
And change.
So we always laugh whenever you watch a Bills game during, when they're coming out of a commercial break. No doubt, every time they will show Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls from the Bills stadium. So Niagara Falls is north of Buffalo, northwest of Buffalo, northeast of Buffalo. Orchard Park, New York, which is a suburb of Buffalo, is well southwest of Buffalo. So you're talking about 45, 50 minutes, and they act like this right next door.
It's right next door. And I'm surprised they're not going to build the stadium right next to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Where's the new stadium going to be? In Orchard Park, or is it going to be somewhere else?
Yeah, right in the parking lot next door,
That stadium looks nice. That is, they have these giant buffalo statues. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, well, you'll have to come up. We'll have to do a sports exchange. I'll go to Miami, and you can come to Buffalo.
Hey, I'm willing to do that. Buffalo tickets are pretty cheap, pretty accessible.
But
I have to go in September. I don't want to go in December.
All right, sounds good. All
right. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you? What is your X handle?
Mad Dog Report. I just want to give a shout out to my mother-in-law, who is going to be inducted tomorrow into the Adirondack High School Hall of Fame for winning the state championship. So that's where I'll be tomorrow.
Very tough Hall of Fame to get into, I hear.
Yeah, it might be,
By the way, do you think Eli Manning will get first ballot for the Hall of Fame?
No. Not first ballot. He'll get in the Hall of Fame eventually.
Yeah, we're all doing like a bunch of poll here in the sports cast, internal poll. And Victor says yes. Ryan says no. Byron says no. I have not asked Alan West. It might be no as well, but what was that?
Of course, Vector's going to say yes. He's a Giants fan.
Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on X and on Instagram. I heard someone called X plus Twitter Twix. Someone called Twix. I think that's a good combination if you get mixed up.
Yeah.
The Sportscast 1, follow us along. We'll be live tweeting this weekend, college football and NFL. Both exciting, both good leagues. Good leagues. Both different levels of football, but it's definitely going to be worth it. And, of course, week three, as Ryan said, week three, week four is when you really know the like who's the real deal, who's really going to glide through. Not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but which team is good enough. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, that's you're right on that, San Diego.
Well, Ryan, that's all she wrote. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me, and God bless everybody.
And this was your update. Go Liberty Flames.